Well, everyone, it's Paul Hopkins. I hope you're all well. Like many of you, I was at Sight Village 2017 in Birmingham. I was actually there today, which is Wednesday, so I'm glad I saw some of you. I recorded a couple of things, didn't do lots of recording, but I thought I would share what I have recorded. The first thing I'm going to share with you is a seminar that I went to and I recorded, and that was with Barclays and someone called Joe Higgins from Barclays Accessibility Team. And her presentation was called, I think it was called From Large Print to Big Ambitions. She was basically just telling us all about what's new with Barclays and what's happening and some of the developments that are going on, which are really quite exciting. So I will, without further ado, play those or that for you. Presentations, just over half an hour of questions and answers. Not edited it really at all. I don't think there's any need to do that. So it is just Joe doing a thing and doing a good job of it as well, and some questions from some of the audience that were there. Enjoy, and I will put some wraparound notes in the show notes of this, but enjoy, and we'll see you on the next recording. Okay, bye for now.
We worked with the IT accessibility team, and they've actually made the little CVV number on the back is much larger print because it's absolutely tiny and not very easy to read. So on, if you order a high visibility debit card, the CVV number on the back is automatically slightly larger to make it easier to read. So that's the high visibility debit cards. So we sort of adapted this idea of inclusive design and how inclusive design can work and be helpful. And we also really are trying to think about how we can use digital innovation. So digital is really... Hi! Digital innovation is really the way forward with a lot of different things that we're working on. So I don't know how many of you bank with Barclays or use the Barclays mobile banking app. So that's something that was developed, and it's, you know, it's great. Most banks have apps, don't they? And they're, you know, it's really handy and great for use of doing banking. But we got some feedback about actually it's not that great with screen readers and you know, it's not actually that brilliant from an accessibility perspective. So we worked with AbilityNet, and we've actually now been accredited, and our Barclays mobile banking app are accredited to be compatible with screen readers and to be accessible. On from this, we've then all our other apps are now the same. So Barclaycard, like, well, actually, that needs to be the same for us. We can't just have one that's accredited and the others aren't. So Barclaycard are now accredited. And so is the Pingit app. I don't know how many of you use Pingit, but that is also accredited. So it's compatible with the accessibility functionalities on the phones. So we've moved on from there, and we have now made it so that you can actually access the Barclays mobile banking app using fingerprint ID. So I don't know how many of you have that on your phone.
Yeah.
I particularly find it quite handy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just because I'm lazy. And I use fingerprint ID. And it just means that you can actually get into the app using your fingerprint ID. On the back of this, there is also a call me functionality within the app, which means if you want to go through to telephone banking, you automatically identify because you use your fingerprint to get into the app. So it's definitely you. And then you can then go and get through to telephone banking without the need to be identified. So it just makes it a much slicker and smoother process. And also you can go from channel to channel. And makes things a lot easier. So it sort of really opened our eyes to sort of how we can use digital innovation, and also it's we're very conscious of the fact that we might get something right now, but actually in 12 months' time we then might need to adapt that further and then adapt it again and adapt it again, because everything's moving on and we just need to make sure that we're keeping up with technology, we're keeping up with what people need and people's expectations. So I don't know if you remember years and years ago when you were booking a hotel, I used to think it was absolutely amazing if the hotel had Wi-Fi. Even if you had to pay for it, I thought it was great to have Wi-Fi. Now, I would not go to a hotel if they didn't have Wi-Fi, and I expect it to be free. And it's just a real sign of how things have moved on. So a new project that we're working on at the moment, and it's currently in pilot, is something called contactless cash withdrawal. And I'm not working on this project, so I'm going to give you a high-level overview. If you've got any questions about it, I can get in touch with the project team and ask them some more detailed questions. Now, contactless cash withdrawal is going to enable the user to take their contactless card or their Android phone, and they can tap it onto the cash machine or the pay point or the relevant machine in the branch, and it will allow them to take the cash out without having to put their PIN number in. So if you use it through the app, you can program into your phone what you want to take out, and then you can then take that out, and it's meaning that you can just instantly have that cash, and it's up to £100. So the project is working on to how we can to make it available for iOS later in the year, but at the moment the pilot is for Android. And like I say, the contactless cards. So that's a project. It's been piloted let me just check my stats. It's 190 devices through the pilot, and then towards the end of the year then it will go up to 600 machines across the UK. So it's just being piloted in the north at the moment. So that is just a way, I mean, you know, for everybody it's really, really handy, but particularly for people with disabilities of different types and sight loss, it's something that will be quite useful, not having to get your card out, not having to put your PIN in. It just makes it a much, much slicker and easier process. So that's where we are with the recent project. Like I say, if you've got any more detailed questions, ask me and I will find out from the project team. Just wanted to highlight to you the recent launch of the accessible PIN Sentry. So I can pass this around. So the smaller version.
That's the one I use.
Yeah. So that is the audio PIN Sentry. And we had some feedback that actually the audio PIN Sentry is great, but that if you've got dexterity issues, or what if you have sight but you're not completely blind, you don't want to use the audio. So we've now got the accessible PIN Sentry. So it's got larger keys, larger screen. So it's you know, it's great if you've got a visual impairment and really useful, but actually if you need a dexterity, it doesn't print, it's just the PIN Sentry with the audio on it. And then it's also larger, so it's just easier to be.
You can't see any large print at the moment then, Alex.
I haven't bought a card with me.
You need to put a card in first.
Yeah, you can put a card in and it'll
and then ask you for you.
Yeah, I should have thought that to bring a card.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, so if you pop it down. Yeah, so give it a go.
Nothing will happen if you do put your card in.
No, it won't.
As long as you know your number, you can.
So we listened to feedback saying, you know, it's great, but actually it could be better. And I know Paul was part of the team working on this.
Yeah.
So helping us out.
No, don't blame me.
Yeah. So it just shows that actually we can get things right, but actually we can make things better, and it's all about listening to our customers and listening to what's needed. So that's where we are with the PIN Sentry. Now the final thing I wanted to point out, I don't know if any of you have seen on the stand downstairs, we're giving away BK bands. Now a BK band is it's a small band that pops onto your wrist, and it's got a little chip in it, and it is connected to your debit card, which means that you can use it contactless technology through the band rather than having to get your card out. So if you've got a smartphone, you can download an app, and you have a little virtual wallet, and you connect it to the chip, which connects to your card and enables you to spend money contactless.
What's the app called?
VPay. Yes. So if anybody is interested, these retail at $19.99, but if anybody is interested in having a band today, we are giving them away, but the caveat is you have to register it today. Because of the expiry date on the bands, they do have to be registered today. We are there to help if anyone wants any help registering, because we've done this hundreds of times, we can help. But I just wanted to let you know that that's a giveaway from us today.
Because you can use that with any, you don't have to have a Barclays account, you can use it with any card.
Yes.
So any current account. But essentially, debit card, sorry. But it's,
or credit card, it's like a Visa.
It's a digital wallet, essentially, isn't it? Yeah. So you fill up and,
So don't feel you have to bank Barclays to have one.
I've not brought my smartphone, but can it be done on the computer if I give you my smartphone number or not?
Yes, we can do it through the website, the BK website.
There's a BK app as well.
And I can give you my mobile number, can I?
We'd have to do it on the app or through, you can register it through the computer. Have you got device with you?
Not my mobile phone, no, not my Apple phone.
Okay, well, we can go downstairs, Kate, and have a look and see what we can do, see if we can get one registered for you.
Okay.
So we can do that. So that's where we are with a little bit of a whistle-stop tour of where we've got to. We've moved on in 3 years.
Yeah.
Yes, brilliant. Since our last conversation. So has anyone got any questions?
Yeah. I get a big print. I'm not with Barclays, I'm with Lloyds, but I get a big print newspaper.
Right.
Okay, I'll get chip and signature card. And I've said about these things here, and I let my new Barclays. I'm just hoping it all follows suit.
Yes, yes.
You know, you can just have no doubt. Good idea, because obviously I can see the big thing, but.
Right.
It's in the shop, and I can't do it. Because I just have contactless.
Do you know, someone else said to me today, you know, that's great for when you're doing your banking, but what about when I'm in the shop and I'm using a PDQ machine, because they've got such tiny numbers on.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to feed it back to the IT accessibility team as part of feedback that goes wider, because the PDQ machines are something, if there's going to Visa have that overarching involvement in what's created and what's produced. So I'm not quite sure how we can go about getting that fed back, but I think it's a really valid point.
That's why I came here, you see, to sort of ask about that, really, you know, and want to see that. You know,
So I missed a bit of that. What was it? You were looking for standardised chip and pin, was it?
Yeah, so the PDQ chip and pin machines.
Because they can vary in size.
Yeah. Well, they vary in everywhere, which way you put the card in, whether it's the top or the bottom.
Because was thinking with that, with the bit, although that pin essentially is a bit bigger, the thinking of it was, can we try and make it so it looks, so the tactiles are the same on it as they would be on, say, a cash machine, so like a little line to go back a pin, or you know, the right symbol, like the tactile symbol on the enter button to be the same as one you'd find. And Barclays were good at that, obviously, standardising, want to keep standards on the kind of tactiles that you expect to find. But you are right. Some of those chip and pins. But I suppose increasing the amount that you can do with contactless might be helpful as well. That must be coming.
Well, I have got contactless.
You can do.
I've also got chip and sync. You know, some places do contactless, some places don't. But I mean, I think everywhere should. Since my macula now. I can't see a small pin. I can't see a bin.
Yeah.
So it is around. I think it is around the organisation thinking about what these PDQ machines look like and how useful they are. So that is something that I am going to feed back to, for it to go sort of up. Because we had to work quite closely with Visa to get the, and I mentioned the CVV number on the back of the cards being larger. Mm. That's something that we're sort of going out of the remit of every card. Mm. So we had to work with Visa to get that.
Because it does take a little bit longer, you know, when you've got to sign your name.
Yeah.
And I know my PIN number, but if shops had it, you know, the larger one, I'd do it.
And there's also, thinking about that machine's got audio functionality on it, it's got a headphone jack in. Is that an option to think about how we can make it more accessible? So we're moving towards digital, and now everyone uses these machines, but it's just thinking about the big picture. We've got an aging population. We just need to, I think we need to get people thinking about the big picture, which is what we're really trying to do, which is the way at it.
Sorry, was it entering your PIN that you were struggling with? Do you know about the 5 having, sometimes it has like a raised dot, so it actually gives you a bit of orientation. So you feel on the pad, the number 5, it will generally have it on a lot of devices, even telephones and things. There should be a raised dot, and then that will help you to navigate your way around where you think the numbers will be.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to get one line of, you're only going to get one row of buttons above the 5, so you'll know that's 1, 2, and 3. And
then,
besides, obviously, on the left hand side, you've got 4 and 6, and then.
Somebody did show me that today. Today, or whatever, I don't know when. And was it yesterday? Yesterday, the map, Coventry or
Leamington
map,
so
on.
Yeah.
And.
I know you were in our session last time, but maybe just ask if there isn't something on the 5, ask them just to help you put your finger on the 5, and you can navigate yourself around if you have that way as well. So, yeah, there is, Joe, I think I read somewhere that they're looking at being able to, so with Siri, and I presume at some point with Android, but with Siri on the iPhone, that you'll soon be able to say, like I could say, you know, pay Joe £20, and if you're in my payment list already, it will pay you that money.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's something the IT accessibility.
You are, I mean, you've spoken about it in public. It was on an interview. It's but
this is where I need Paddy to be here. So you've met Paddy, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he used to be in the same team. and he's now defected and gone to the IT access team because he's very techy.
I mean, it is happening, and I think as far as from what I think it was something Catherine was talking about. So, it's, that would be amazing.
And you've got to make it a lot easier.
So you can. So I'll presume it'll be through either BPAY or through your through the app for your current account or whatever. But I mean, again, it's that's pretty neat, you know, just to be able to. Because, and I think the premise of it would be that it's because of the voice recognition, not voice recognition, sorry, the fact that you can log in now with your voice, can't you, and things, so that's getting rolled out, isn't it,
with Barclays. So that's the next stage of doing it through
so it will know from your
recognition.
Well, it's hard to, and it's hard to, it's as hard to mimic someone's voice as it is to mimic their fingerprints, so, know, it's all using biometrics, but it is, as you said, like, and if you use this word, but like it is convergence technology, so you're an inclusive design, which is again something that you've really excelled at, I think.
It's really something that's very important to us, and it's also something that we're trying to share with other organisations, not just banks, with all sorts of organisations. So just to sort of think about something we worked on last year, this was a project that I did last year, and I created something called the accessibility portal. And what we've done is we've taken all the information and the tools that we use to make our business accessible, and we've made it open source to any business or organisation. And that includes training videos, information about inclusive design. We use diverse personas when we're doing inclusive design, so we've made those all open source. So so the idea is that whatever size your organisation, you can go onto that portal and you can just help yourself to whatever you need. And it just means that there's sort of all that information is there. And we did some research at the beginning of last year with different businesses, 500 different businesses, and 77% of them came back and said, I really want to be accessible, but I have no idea where to start. I don't know what to do. And I just that's just so, you know, it's just, and you just think how, what we all know, I've been, you know, worked on something and I think, or, you know, back when I was at university and I had to write an essay and I'm like, I don't know where to start, and it's that horrible thing. So we can help to take that away from different organisations. Small companies don't always have the funding to think about this, you know, they're trying to keep their head above water. So if they can give their the people on the telephone, they can use these training videos, they can just help themselves and they've got that training for free, then it's really, really helping. So that's something just thought you might find quite interesting.
So that portal, is it like an open website?
So when we're finished, I'll just bring it up on my phone. I'll show you, or we can get it up on yours. And I'll show you. So you can have a look. That's my little project last year. Any feedback you've got on it, then there's a contact information on there. So you know, if you think it'd be good to have this on it, then absolutely let me know, and I'll get that information. So, any other questions? I'm just having time. We've got a little bit of time there.
No, I'm really pleased to hear about the cars with the clearer numbers on them. I know our team, when they're trying to take payments over the phone, that's the number one struggle for
Well, the other thing we do is, because although they're a bit bigger, they're not massive, because of the design of the car.
It's usually just the contrast, because when you've got silver numbers on
it's just hard to use. But you can actually get your card information in alternative format, so if you're shopping online or like say over the phone, you can have it in large print, audio or braille, so you can sort of keep it at home and get it out, so you don't have to get your card out, you just get this information out. So that's another option that people have, if that would help them when they're at home and they want to do a bit of online shopping or telephone shopping.
So another question is, there is a huge amount out there, but people not knowing that it's out there. So when we're coming across people and they're saying, oh, I struggle with this, that and the other, we just say, just contact your branch and see how they can help you, or...
So the branches are, you know, there's lots of information at the branches. If they don't know, because it could be that you've got, you know, you're sort of speaking to somebody who's quite new to the business, and we have to be mindful of that. We do have an internal knowledge tool, And it is a bit like a Google search, so you type in what you want to know and it will bring it up and you can have that served. So if you were to type in visually impaired, it will bring up all the list of the different things that we offer and have that, all that information there. So most colleagues will know, but if there is any chance that they're a bit unsure, then there is that tool that can then give them that backup.
I think lots of people know about the large print bank statements, but they kind of assume that that's as far as it goes, so it's just encouraging people to...
Yeah, and it's also, last year we introduced, actually might have been the year before, we introduced something, we introduced coloured overlays. So we were getting a few questions from people saying, can I have my statements on blue paper, can I have my statements on yellow paper? And obviously we're printing millions and millions and millions of statements, so we can't change the colour of the paper. But I had a quick word with our stationery department and said, can you do these A4 coloured overlays? And they're like, yeah, no problem. So we've just got a process, and if anyone wants any, then they can just get in touch with telephony or branch. They get in touch with me, and we just get them ordered and sent out, which means that it's there for all correspondence. It's not just your Barclays stuff. It's there, and it's there for them to keep, and we can use those. But a lot of people don't realise that it's a really simple solution, but it's available for anybody who needs it for benefit, whether you're visually impaired, dyslexia, or whatever it works for you.
I think it's an important point there that you're saying. I think that your traditional channels are still very much open. So if people are still using traditional braille, large print, and audio, and so on, and increasingly easy read, which is some of the areas we get into, but that they're there as well as the digital solutions, and probably, if you're like me, most of us probably use everything in tandem. So I wouldn't say my statement in braille is the most exciting thing to read, but I probably do it with a stiff drink sometimes. but maybe not the phone. So you've got options. Sometimes you want to, and if you're reading about a product and you want to take your time and think, often I quite like that in braille rather than some speech thing jabbering in my ear. As much as I use that, sometimes I like to have the braille just there so I can, as I say, relax and decide what I want to do, if I want the product or not, and have a coffee with it. And do you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's all about choice.
It is.
And
yeah.
Even when my daughter's recently done her English A level, and so she was having to read the books again and again because she'd got these exams all about this particular book. And so she actually got an audio version, so she could listen to that when she was in the car, or she was, doing things, or she was out going for a walk, or she was actually at the gym listening to the lovely bones. She can just regurgitate it. And so it's sort of there for anybody. And like you say, there's different mediums you can use at different points in the day, or whatever suits you. And it's just having that versatility, really. And it's just making people aware that. Actually, it's around choice and having multiple choice.
So having one thing switched on doesn't mean having the other thing turned off necessarily.
Exactly. Which isn't right for anybody, whether you've got a disability or not. It's around what works for everybody.
Do you find that kind of other banks are following suit?
Yes.
Because again, that's a big challenge for people, that the thought of changing their bank accounts is a
and it's something that we're very it's great being leaders in these different things and these innovations, and we really want to be leaders, but we don't want to be the only organisation that's doing it, which is hence the portal. We've been working with some really big organisations that have come to us and said, can we use your training videos? And we said, well, you can help you make your own. And they're like, no, those hit the nail on the head, so we'll just use them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, brilliant, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with banks. It's no good us just being the most accessible bank and then the others not being, because then you take away people's choice.
Yeah.
And that's not the way to be. So so sign video was something we launched in 2013 for people that use British Sign Language. And they were able to then use that by telephony through a webcam. And they can they use the webcam to contact sign video, who then phone telephony, and they can have that three-way conversation. If you have a look, most of the high street banks do that now. They've all use sign video and have that available. And to us, we think that's a real success story because it means that, you know, we've got it right because the other banks are wanting to do it.
Yeah.
So we're talking ATMs as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Barclays just overnight said, hey, switched them all on, and then quite quickly after that, I mean, I'm not saying others weren't involved in the process because you can't just switch these things on, you know, so, but it did come quite quickly afterwards, you know, within sort of 6 months to a year, others were starting to appear. So now it's almost like you expect to find talking ATMs. You don't always, but you do kind of have more of an expectation. So yeah. That's affected the industry and therefore people's expectations. And then vis-a-vis, you know, they'll go and talk to their bank or their provider and say, as you just said, these guys are doing it. Yeah. Why aren't you doing it?
Yeah, and that's
sticky,
accessible society is what we want. So, we're hopefully leading the way, but with everybody else joining in, it just means we get closer to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you all for coming.